That's actually what I'll be speaking on this morning, and that's praising the Lord. What better topic than praising God, especially when many of us might be feeling a little down over the whole stay-at-home order, or seeing the virus slowly make its way in our direction. Today is also a day that we celebrate Palm Sunday. For many of us, we can remember children coming into the sanctuary waving their palm branches. And it is a reminder of when Jesus had his grand entrance into Jerusalem while riding on a colt. This happened a week before Jesus was crucified on the cross. If you turn with me, we'll be starting in Matthew chapter 21, verse 8. Matthew 21:8. You'll also notice if you have the notes section, I've listed a bunch of scriptures that we'll be going through so you can follow along. But Matthew 21:8 through 11. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." See, there were crowds around Jesus shouting and praising God and praising Jesus. Hosanna is really just a word, an utterance of praise. It is literally praise. This day that Jesus entered the city was filled with excitement. They praised Jesus as he entered. Putting down their cloaks and putting down palm branches was a sign of respect, and it was something that was worthy of a king. Jesus was treated like a king, at least for the moment. But something that gets me is that in verse 10, the whole city is stirred. Everyone in the city took notice. Not all were praising because some didn't know him. But they asked what all the praise was about. And the crowds answered, "Jesus is here." Let's look at a parallel verse in Luke, mostly saying the same, but has a few different things. In Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 36. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." They are praising the Lord. Let's read that second half of verse 37 again. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. We have read and can probably visualize this grand entry of Jesus. And you might know the backstory, and some of you might not, so I'll try to summarize why there was so much excitement over Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. There had been many prophecies over many years speaking of the coming Messiah, a person who would be a king. The Messiah would take the throne and rule over the kingdom forever. Something that you have to understand is that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. He was the promised Savior whose rule would never end. But the kingdom that was spoke of was not an earthly kingdom that most everyone came to expect. Instead, it was a heavenly kingdom that far surpasses anything we could imagine. But as Jesus is entering Jerusalem, the people were responding and giving praise because they thought Jesus was coming to take an earthly throne, to force the Romans out and restore Jerusalem and Israel to a great capital and a great nation once again. So as Jesus enters Jerusalem, they're putting down their cloaks, they're putting down the branches, treating Jesus as if he were a warrior king returning from a successful battle. The city was stirred, and great crowds were praising God at Jesus' arrival. Why all the praise? You know, I already mentioned that, but here's some other things. Why all the praise? God kept his word and sent the Messiah. The promised Savior is here. And the promised King is here. God did not forget the people. God did not turn his back on his people. He sent Jesus. The people were ecstatic. They were thrilled. And they praised the Lord. I mean, think about a time in your life when the Lord answered a prayer or did a miracle or made himself known to you in a very real way. When that happens, we praise the Lord. We feel the closest to him, and we're reminded of his very real presence in our lives and in our world, and we respond with joyful praise. I remember back when I was a deputy sheriff and feeling restless. I went on many prayer walks. There was one walk unlike others. God was so close. He spoke to me. He spoke to me about being patient in my career and in my restlessness. And it was on that walk that he first called me to pastoral ministry. The fact that I could discern that he was actually speaking to me was a great moment to be thankful for, and I responded by giving praise to him. Now, the call to ministry at that time, not so much, but he spoke to me, and I heard him. When God speaks or answers prayers, they are moments that we pause and we praise him. Right? He answers your prayer, you praise him. He performs a miracle, you praise him. He speaks to you, you praise him. That is what we are seeing as Jesus enters Jerusalem. The people are praising him. Remember, though, this is only a week before Jesus is put on the cross and crucified. In a matter of a week, the people turn. Actually, it doesn't take that long for some, like the religious leaders. They didn't like him right away. But over the course of the week, people are faced with disappointment. Not all of them. We know that Jesus healed many, and he taught many in the temple courts. But by the end of the week, Jesus is betrayed, and many people are screaming to Pilate, "Crucify him." What happened? Jesus did not meet their expectations. What they expected in a king and kingdom did not materialize like they thought. In their disappointment and anger, they didn't turn to the Lord. Instead, they turned away from him. Their praise of God was evidently only when they thought that he was blessing them. The problem was that even when they couldn't see the blessing, God was still blessing them with Jesus' presence. I know I said John 3:16 last week, but it really comes up again. John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus is and always will be the blessing. No matter what is going on around us, Jesus brought salvation to this fallen and sinful world. God is in control, and God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Jesus freed us from the bondage of sin and gave us something to look forward to, and that is eternal life with him. That is, that in itself is enough to praise Him for the rest of our lives. Think about that. That is enough to praise Him for the rest of our lives. Well, what is it to praise? It is expressing love. It's expressing adoration, approval, and thanksgiving to and for God and for His works and attributes. To praise Him is also worshiping Him. Why? Because He is the only one worthy of praise and worship. He is the only one worthy. I'd like to share with you several scriptures on praising God. And believe me when I tell you that these are only a drop in the bucket compared to all the verses in the Bible that are about praising God. But let's look at the first one I've picked here, Psalm 117, verses 1 through 2. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. This speaks of His great love and forever enduring faithfulness. Nations as a whole are to praise Him. People as individuals are to praise Him. Let's read our next one. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 29. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. These verses may have been written when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem at the time of King David. But these words of praise are enduring for all time. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Let's look at our next verse. Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. This is after God protected the Israelites from coming out of Egypt, and Pharaoh and his chariot army was swept away in the sea. These words are for today, as Jesus came and took away our sins. The Lord is my salvation. Let's read another found in Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which He is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things He has done for the house of Israel, according to His compassion and many kindnesses. We are to give Him praise for all the things He's done. The Lord is kind and compassionate. Those are worthy of praise. We see over and over great things for which God was praised. But salvation for us is a big part of that. Let's read Ephesians 1:6-7, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. Okay, that's a huge part. I would like to read that again. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. Does this change if I have an illness or if I have the COVID-19 virus? No, that doesn't change. If you belong to Jesus, His grace still pours over you. He purchased your freedom and He forgave your sins. Does this change if you still struggle with some sin? No. Does this change if you're in financial stress or in relationship difficulties? No. Does this change if you're struggling with doubt or fear or other problems in life? No. But let's have a moment of honesty. What about the times that we are praying for God to do something and He doesn't answer the way we want or the way that we expect Him to? What about the times that we are struggling and don't feel like God is close to us? We don't feel like God is helping us. What about the times when God seems to have let us down? We will feel disappointment. We will feel a little more hurt. And praising God might actually be a little more difficult to do. It might be a struggle. I think we can be honest in saying that. And let me tell you that if you've never felt that way, you are a rarity. We know God is able to do all things, but for some reason, He doesn't always do what we hope He will. That doesn't change Him because He never changes, yet it can change us if we allow it. There might be a tug in our hearts to turn away from the Lord as the Israelites did after Jesus entered Jerusalem. That might be our human response to just say, I'm done. Yet Jesus is still the one who brought salvation and freedom. I would like to share another passage with you. Three men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship an idol that the king had made. The men were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were given a choice. They could either bow and worship the idol or be thrown into the fiery furnace. We read about this in Daniel chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. God is able to save them from the furnace. But even if He does not, they're saying they will not worship anything else but God. Those two words, even if. Even if they are thrown in the furnace, they will continue to worship God. What happens? They're thrown into the furnace. Read that whole passage if you never have. It's good. But we often read past that even if part. God is able to do so much. We read about so many different things that God has done in the Bible. But sometimes He chooses not to intervene. The three were thrown in the furnace. Now they were saved from death by the fire, but they were still thrown in. Because of Jesus, you have so much to be thankful for. But you may still find yourself being thrown into hardships and trials. Even if God can prevent them, He may not. Will you still choose to worship and praise Him? Will you trust Him? We know He's able to keep us from tough times. But even if in our tough times in life, will you trust and worship Him? We know that God is pouring out His blessings of love and grace. It may not always feel like it, but Jesus is the reason for those blessings. Let us praise Him even more when our worlds are being turned upside down, because we know that God is still in control, and Jesus brought us salvation and bought our freedom and forgave our sins. Nobody and nothing can take that love that He has shown us away from us. Nobody and nothing can take that, and no one can take the love of Christ away from us. Amen and amen.